very happy to have a chance to talk to you tonight about compassion and wisdom. It seems to us and to all of you very easy topic, but know how to say it. When we talk about the compassion and wisdom, there is another virtue that we have to remember. It's purity. The three things that Buddha had: great wisdom, great virtue, and great compassion. So they are linked together, cannot be separated. But compassion and wisdom is known to us. When we talk about purity, is the virtue, the precepts, that all of us, or those who like to show their compassion and wisdom to others, must have. So our Buddha, long before he became Buddha, he practiced the six parami, the six perfections: generosity, morality, effort, and then patience, meditation, and wisdom. So in order to show your compassion to others, you must have something. You must have something inside, materially and spiritually. So why generosity come first? A person who always kind and generous give in terms of food, clothes, and accommodation and medicine would have a very good and happy life. So because of that good karma, they have plenty. Once they have plenty, they can show to others. They can have compassion to others. Without their own generosity and kindness, it's impossible. A very selfish person will not have anything to give. So very important. You have to be kind and generous. If there is nothing at all, give your time, your energy. Always the chance is always there for you to do something for the happiness of others. The Buddha at one time has been accused of having a very selfish idea. Sir, I heard that you always said that giving to you and to your disciples bring a great benefit, but not to others. Yes. Who said that? Our strong belief in generosity has been there all the time, to such extent that if you happen to throw anything left over, you know, so any kind of food left over, and with good intention, may this leftover thrown by me be a great help to all living beings, such as those who crawl on the feet like the ants and all others. Even this, I see as a great thing. How much more benefit if you give to all human beings without exception, without discrimination. So, generosity is taught by the Buddha all along. Otherwise, Buddhism would not be respected and supported by the great majority of the people. So the people in the countryside where I have been, where I come from, they give their food to the monk, nothing else, you know. In the past, because we were very poor, can give only cooked rice to the monk every day. And sometimes we have some fruits, sometimes some other things that have been cooked, we give. But one thing never miss is the cooked rice. So the monks can survive by that type of rice. So the lay people always see, give to the Buddhist monk first before they can have their own meal that we call before they can have their own breakfast. Even they hide away some good things from the children, so they like to give to the monk. So we believe that if you give the best, you get the best. So by giving in the morning, having a good intention to show kindness and generosity to the venerable monks and so on, we have a very good start. We have a good what we call start in our daily life. So we do our best to maintain that kind of happy feeling to all living beings. And if there is anything in afternoon, anything at all, but in the past not so much, like some coffee or tea or something like that, any kind of juice, but very rare. So they give to the wearable monks. So these people who practice generosity all the time, when the time comes, they get plenty. And then they are in a better position to show their kindness and generosity to those who are unfortunate, those who are desperate, who are very poor and unlucky. So this time, our kindness and generosity turn to be what they call a great compassion to all living beings. So you must have first, you know. But better still, if you have like what the Buddha has done and what the Buddha has taught us to do, you must keep a moral conduct. Why? Because if you are very kind and generous from time to time, without discipline for yourself, when you give your heart and your mind open, you gain and get happiness for yourself, and you bring happiness to all living beings. So you are in a high position, better position to show to others. But if your action is not good, not wholesome and positive, you still have a chance to harm and hurt others, still have a chance to steal or even commit sexual misconduct or even drinking, you yourself are not a very wholesome and positive person. So a giver, not perfect, not pure, but you give something you gain and get from the right way of life to a person who are in the spirit, of course the benefit is great. But greater still, if you are good person and giving to whoever come to you, or if you have a chance to give that to those who live a moral life but in the very poor, they are in a very poor condition, or they don't have that much to depend on. So why compassion and virtue always link together? If you like to make that compassion perfect, you must live a moral life yourself. This is a great thing the Buddha has. No, he practiced generosity first, of course, and then he practiced morality, dana, sila, and then he developed his own wisdom. So wisdom has been shown all the time when you start doing something good. That means you are a very wise person. You like to help somebody, someone who are in a very desperate situation. Always help. Like many of your friends who are in trouble. When you ask someone to help and to support, that means your good friend would help you with great compassion. I have compassion on you, so I give you this thing. I'm in a desperate situation. So here, compassion, karuna, and metta be different. Metta touching every heart, kind to everyone, to the top, what you call friendliness, kindness to everyone, to the people in the high class, in the middle class, or anywhere, any place, to all living beings without exception. But when you come to the compassion, we concentrate on the poorer one, on the unfortunate, uneducated, who are in a very desperate situation. Here, you can get a great respect. So why our organization, Buddhist organization, should do our best to help all other living beings? Visiting the sick person, visiting people in jail, helping the poor children like that, or giving something to those who are in need. Show our great compassion to those who are in need. So what they call the karuna, or when we talk about the Buddha, they said mahakaruna, the great compassion that comes down from the Buddha. So you see people are in suffering and then you help them all the time like this, that means you have compassion, karuna. But that, because of that, you have some wisdom. This wisdom, when it talk about wisdom, because all linked together now. Two kinds of wisdom. One is the worldly one. Say all of you have been educated properly, come to the university like this. Those who are graduates, say BA, very good knowledge, you know. And then, good education, and then MA, better. And then the best, PhD, you know. This is what we call the worldly knowledge. It's necessary to support our life, to live our life to this kind of knowledge. But we call worldly because it helps us to live a happy life in this world. But when it comes to the teaching of the Buddha, what we call panya, be different. It starts, the true wisdom starts from having kindness and generosity, practicing morality, practicing meditation, and then develop that wisdom gradually, and then you can have that, what is called that supramundane or knowledge or wisdom, or the spiritual wisdom, we can say. Based on compassion and kindness, based on good moral conduct, we have a chance to do much better, more help, more support to all living beings, and in very good position. I can tell you, say a person who live a moral life, very good moral life, never harm, never steal, never commit sexual misconduct, never drink, never tell a lie, never have a hard speech, never have a gossip, and no empty talk. So we have control over our action and our speech. So you have to train yourself. Very, very important. If we come to this world and come to understand Buddhism without training ourselves, you're still far from what the Buddha taught, far from the teaching. You have to take the teaching into yourself. So this what you call this body comes from four elements. Doesn't know anything. But if you very wise, you take the teaching of Buddha into your own practice, a wholesome person, a very good person, perfect in pure in conduct, pure in speech, wonderful. Because no bad karma. But this just start, you know, just the beginning, not even to the end yet. But Even from this point of view, you are Kalyana Chon, they said, are normal people. Are people who are very good behavior walking on the road or living on this earth. And from here, they, when you pass away, you can go to the heaven because no bad karma. And then whatever you do, because in that once you have a good moral conduct, always helping oneself, always helping others, your presence anywhere, any place would be well respected and loved by others. Why? You are a harmless person. If you don't do anything wrong, what you supposed to do? Only the good thing. If you don't harm them, what you supposed to do? Always kindness to all others. So if you don't take anything from anyone and anybody, you always like to give. Never take anything from anyone without being given to you. So you always kind and good, and then you respect all others. You look after the family. People can trust you where you are. So you are in the very good position. Then they, when you have a chance to help the poor, the desperate, oh, compassion backed by strong moral conduct and backed by this wisdom, you are a wonderful person. The person that has been sent from heaven to help. And the love and kindness that come from the very good person, that it flows naturally, like the good rain comes down to this earth. Always helping without causing trouble to anyone, anybody. And then it's true. Because once you are perfect in a good conduct, whatever you do is always good. So the bad karma, if there is any consequence of the past bad karma, it becomes less and less. And you do keep doing the good thing. So many people who are in suffering would like to depend on you. Just like this. If you practice a lot of generosity and kindness, you have plenty. You want to have plenty because the thing always come to you. When you it become the, what you call, once you practice, once you perfect generosity, it creates the magical power. The thing you want come to you without making any effort. The more you give, the more it comes, like the breeze that flows through the window. If you close it up, there is no movement. But if you open, the breeze come here, I'll go out here. So the more you give, the more you get. And then once you have, you give to the poorer. So like myself in this kind of position, I can only have my compassion when I have a longer or live an old life like this for a long time. So every time I go back to Laos, that in this present situation, they have hold, but since the poor people, they can't afford to give that donation to the monastery. So there was one time, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, the hall is not complete, the ceiling and the floor. It happened that they've been very lucky. I asked how much for the ceiling, it was big, 100,000 baht. And how much for the floor, very nice and good floor, at 100,000. We just have 200,000 to give away. So this guy come from a moral person, an old monk, to give things to the place where they are in need. So wherever I go there, I feel good, you know, have done something. And the other one is the what you call Upostha Hall. Then they changed the government from the what you call this kind of royal government or to the socialist one, you know. So they have laid out
the foundation for the Opusta Hall. But there's no money because the situation is very bad. And the change of government. So when I went back, only empty floor. I said, sir, could you help? Could you help? Big thing, don't you know? How can I help you? But then when I went there, they do their best. I saw the sand, I saw the cement, I saw the what they call the pole coming up, and these people are serious, so I have to do something. So, after the rain retreat, I always go back. But that hall has been complete. It's not only me, but many others helping. But we keep doing. But it happened that Uposatha Hall used to be the place where the best monk passed away. So when the story spread out about Ajahn Sao, the very enlightened monk, passed away over there, so easy to get money to build up the hall. So every time I went, I feel so good. So you have to be a very good person, a fortunate person to some extent, to help those who are in need. And that's how we look after our society and look after Buddhism. And not only that, the school, the primary school, sir, could you help? They have a building, but no roof. I said, how much for that? 100,000. So I said, bit too late this year. You can get money from anywhere if you can borrow. But next year, when I arrive, 100 would be for the school. Okay, 100,000. So that's how we show our compassion and kindness to those who are in trouble. So we practice. You must be kind and generous. Always practice kindness and generosity so that something coming to you, and then you can help the poorer one. So our Buddha has done that. So in the more, I would say, more in Mahayana, like many books that have been given, out of compassion and kindness from the Venerable Jin Kung, you know, we have a free book from Taiwan to distribute, to give away. And then the other societies, Suzuki or something, for those who are in need, those who have trouble with the eyes or whatever, physical trouble, this great compassion that goes to those who are in need. So it's good thing. Without this, Buddhism is not known. It's not well respected. So you, among the Chinese family who have what they call, who are strong financially, you can help. And those are in trouble. So I went to Singapore, and the taxi said, sir, only a strong person and who can work can live here. Other one, they have to starve. They can't live in Singapore. But then I went to the temple, there's free food in that wonderful, I can't remember the name. And many people working over there, I see plenty of food for free, but they have to work and help. So this kind of organization is very, very good indeed. It helps. So people are in great trouble. If you don't have, if you have no money, if you don't have job, you are in trouble. So then those who have plenty of money to give away to support, and if they go to that kind of organization, it's wonderful indeed. So not only just a place to eat, but beautiful shrine to pay respect. And people come and do the chanting and so on, and learn Buddhism and practice meditation. That's excellent. So this kind of compassion and kindness shown to the people has a strong impact, strong influence in their life. They can take Buddhism forever because they survive because of Buddhism. Never forget. And then when we practice more, say you like to help other living beings, not only materially but spiritually, they need something. They have plenty of money, but this time, no, not the poor, but the well-educated one, the rather rich one, the one who have plenty of money and yet having trouble. So when this come up, we come to the level the four truth, the suffering, the cause of the suffering, the end of the suffering, and the path leading to the end of suffering. So they have plenty of food to eat, but they have weakness in their heart, in their mind. How to help them? Before anything else, we have to help ourselves first. Have a great compassion on ourselves. How to escape from this kind of suffering? So we practice generosity, and very important that we must keep the moral conduct. So that once a good moral conduct, you become a very good person, and then very close, what you call, to meditation. So once you practice meditation, this time you have a better position to help other living beings through your great compassion. Without being moral, you cannot tell anyone to live moral life, you know. It's very difficult. They point finger to you. How dare you? I never say that. But if you're a very good man, good boy, oh, you can tell them. Such person, very good, have very good behavior. So you can tell them. And then through this good moral conduct, now you come to sila, samadhi, and panya, the noble eightfold path. In brief, sila, samadhi, and panya, morality, meditation, and wisdom. The noble eightfold path itself, right understanding, right thought, classified as wisdom, right action, right speech, and right livelihood as morality, right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration as meditation. So when you come to this, you can help all others who are in trouble. We live a good life, but if we don't have a meditation, we're still having a lot of trouble. Why? Because of course you have generosity that help you, supporting you. You have compassion that help you, supporting you. But there is the weakness inside. What you call the defilement inside, the dominant environment that stay inside, always causing trouble. So without meditation, it's very hard to live in peace. Very difficult. So when you come to this, so in order to show your compassion and kindness to others, you practice yourself first. Always you have to take first before giving away. And you have to be very wise before advise anyone to be wise, you know, before you can give wisdom to anyone. Once you practice meditation, now you see that in morality, this body, you know, the whole body, and what you call the body and the mouth. So here, the body have to away from killing, stealing, sexual misconduct, drinking, and then the mouth. I have to be very sincere, honest, no attain a lie, and always tell the truth, away from harsh speech and gossiping and empty talk. So no bad karma would go through this channel or through this body. But the eye still see, you know, the ear still hear. So we are not blind, and the nose still smells something, you know, and the tongue still tastes. And the body still have experience, and the thought,
always there, thinking of so many things. So, when it comes to, there are two things that say, between the I and the form. When the I has experienced, see the form, the three kinds of feeling that arise, happy, unhappy, and neutral feeling. So, these three things always disturbing the mind. The liking one, the disliking one, are the one that's striking very hard, shaking this mind. So, if you don't practice meditation, you can't avoid, because the eye is still exposed to the form, the ear is still exposed to the sound. So once you meditate, mind can work one thing at a time. So if you practice mindfulness of the breath, just see the breath in, out, in, out. It's so good in a way that once it can work one thing at a time, it cannot take other. It frees itself from distractions and worry. Once it becomes still and calm, there's no liking and no disliking. So you can pacify your mind at this level. This peacefulness come to you, slowly come to you. If not, you watch television, you get disturbed. Liking disturbing you, disliking disturbing you. Most of the time, you have to understand, what you like become the cause of the trouble. Like three things that the poisons in the mind of human beings: lust, anger, and delusion. Without this, we cannot live, you know. But after the lust, always anger. So in order to stop that anger, you have to stop lust. This is very hard, you know. But you have to understand first. But you have to understand. So we practice meditation, and then peace arises, because liking, disliking become less and less. And then you can pacify your mind. And then when you hear, when you don't hear anything, don't listen to the song and music and so on, you pacify your mind. So they said, like, you have, what do you call that? A kind of reptile that living like in Asia, underground, have a hole, but a six hole. So if you like to catch that reptile, you have to block five holes and leave only one. So that reptile could not escape, no, can't, because there's only one. So you just try to be mindful and try to grab with your hand, and one day that reptile will come out, will not stay long. You need something to eat. So we have eyes, ears, nose, tongue, body, and a mind. When we practice meditation, we close our senses. Having one thing on mindfulness, or the breath in, out, or you use a metaphor, repeat it, repeat. But if your mind becomes calm and peaceful, have that kind of awareness and clarity, drop the word. Usually it drops itself, like even Buddha, Buddha. Even the mindfulness of the breath, you can see the breath more and more subtle. So once your mind becomes more and more subtle like that, strong mindfulness of one thing, so then you can see that in this level you come to the inner, what they call bigness, something hiding inside you. What's in there? Pleasant feeling, unpleasant feeling, always come to disturb you. Sometimes they call it hindrances, the sensual pleasures, unhappy feeling, sleepiness, and distractions and doubt. So once you have a strong mindfulness over one thing, the mind become calm and peaceful. So you have to do that way. Or like what I have said in the last talk about the turtle, they have a four legs, one head, and one tail. So walking, no?
when the dog, when the dog see the turtle start barking, so the turtle withdraw the leg, withdraw the head into that strong shell. So dog can't do anything, cannot swallow that hard shell and too big to kill the turtle. So if you like to be away from this section, the only way is to meditate. So this once there is no trouble inside, no ill feeling inside, no liking and no disliking inside, then compassion would show itself. When you talk to anyone and everybody who have such strong peace inside, they listen. But always remember that only thing comes from the quietness of the place first. So when you stay in a very peaceful place and sit still, one thing is working on the time is your own thought. So how to calm down and pacify your thought in that very peaceful surrounding is very important. So when one to meditate, everything quiet down. So you try to be on one thing, and then that mind becomes empty. So this kind of peaceful feeling happening to you for so many times, you are in a very good position to bring peace and happiness to all other living. So it creates a very peaceful and happy atmosphere. And yourself have enjoyed that kind of bliss. First, peacefulness comes from the quietness of the body. And then the second one, the quietness of the mind. Or they said, first, quietness of the place. The second one, the quietness from the concentrated mind. The mind that has good meditation. So this very important, because you have a good behavior all along, strong moral conduct, good meditation, and whatever you do for others, it brings great benefit, because you are a happy person to bring happiness to other living beings. You are not in a suffering. If you are in suffering, you can't give happiness to others. The best you can do can give offering, but even that, you say you are not in a good mood to give anything to anyone. So you have to meditate. This that it comes, and out of compassion, by this time, to those who have plenty. Buddhism have a chance nowadays to show that compassion to the Western people, or those who are would like to hear from us in this kind of modern world, because they are lacking. So when it comes to this, you see, the world without the six senses is not the world. Okay? The world without happiness from the six senses is not the world. But that world has plenty of suffering. Okay? So we tell them, look, you have to control your six senses. And the best, you keep the five precepts, and then you come and meditate, and then you can have a better control over your six senses, and then you have strong peace inside. Our Buddha, from the day one when he started practicing generosity and morality, he keep doing this. That the Theravada believe he doesn't come to the perfection of the wisdom yet. Otherwise, that make him become Buddha. So we can say that from his the story of his life, he show his kindness and compassion. He practiced morality. He practiced meditation up until the day when he attained enlightenment. And only the perfection of the wisdom come only on the full moon day of the sixth lunar month. And now this actually this kind of great compassion come from the good meditation. It's not the best yet. it better, but not the best, because you can tell, you can help all others. So in order to help the society or the world, keep practicing, you know. If you don't have anything to give because you are the poor, or you see a lot of people like to give things away, you organize a meditation retreat, you know. Show your compassion. Tell everyone, come on, come have a calmness and peace for your mind. So I have compassion for you, you know. But you have to practice yourself. So samadhi, but this, but we walk along the path. We practice ourselves, we show compassion and kindness to all living beings. But when it comes to the greatest level of the level of wisdom, this time is the time when you show your great compassion and great wisdom to all living beings. How? Like this. Once the mind is still and calm and peaceful, you would find out what is the cause of the trouble, where it come from, and you can see it, oh, right inside the mind. And most, the very important thing that is your own attachment, your attachment to your own body, and attachment to the body of others. Always the case like that. I'm come first, me, myself, and always like that. So now we have to learn what the Buddha taught. Suffering comes first. Very important. Have to understand the suffering. We do our best to know or to learn or to investigate the suffering. But some people might have a misunderstanding. You have to understand that when the Buddha talked to the five disciples, he gave the first sermon, those five disciples have a good moral conduct, have a good meditation. So they are healthy, strong, but very peaceful mind. When the Buddha talked about the suffering of the body, and you know that then they can understand the body is one thing, that knowing mind is another. Who see the suffering? Who see the suffering? Who are in the suffering? And then we see over and over like this body, impermanent, first the old age, sickness and death, separation, like this. This have to go through, all of us, all human beings have to go through this kind of suffering. But it happened only to the body though. Old age, sickness, and death and separation happen only to the body. The mind is the one who knows everything. And if that mind let go of the attachment to this body, you are in a very good position. You are immortal. You never die. The knowing mind never dies. Who is in suffering? That knowing mind, when it has ignorance, has suffering. When the knowing mind has attachment, has suffering. So when you remove the attachment from the knowing mind, what's going to happen? You're very, very happy. And so see the body. Have to see your body. But this time, some of you who understand this, who have confidence and faith in the teaching, may live up to what we call a homeless life. Brahmacharya. Away from the front stage of nature, you know. So you are in a better position to fight. Otherwise, very difficult. Because you're still living in the world. When it comes to the marriage, to the partnership, duty and responsibility. So many things to do and many things to look after. Have no time. But then if you live a celibate life, a brahmacharya, so you're away from the sensual pleasures, what you need is the sukha, happiness that comes from the quietness of the place, the happiness that comes come from the quietness of the mind, the happiness that comes from the quietness of the freedom that what you call let go all kind of attachment. So this something that the normal people won't understand. So when it comes to the old age sickness and death, they are very sad, in very desperate situation. But once you give them good understanding like this, you have great compassion, you know. Make them understand, like the Buddha taught us. And make sure that they don't get frightened when they heard about the suffering, you know. But their peaceful mind see this. The body itself doesn't know its own suffering, but the mind is the one who knows. The mind is the one who has trouble. So if you let go of the attachment, that the knowing mind will stand by itself. And not only that, understand the whole process of the bodily action, but also what happened, what they call the process of thought, what they call the nama, the spiritual phenomena. Feeling, comfort. This one is very important, because after the body, after the rupa, the nama, this feeling always come and go. You know? Once you understand it properly, oh, happy feeling, unhappy feeling, neutral feeling, rise up, stay for a moment, and then go away. Unhappy one, rise up, and stay for a moment, and go away. And if that knowing mind, watching it, see it, as it come and go, your knowing mind compared to the big space, that like a happy, unhappy feeling like the clouds, what you call dancing along, or the dust and the dirt when you look through your own window. So you are not supposed to be sad to see this kind of impermanence. Say, if there is any suffering, like a painful feeling to the body, it would come to an end. Having in mind that this come and go, come when when the body come to the last moment to death, and then no more sickness. But that knowing mind know all along, bear that kind of suffering, without taking that suffering as me myself. So you have freedom. You never die. This kind of feeling is very helpful. That the Buddha taught us to understand, to make ourselves different from the body. So when you come to this, like what they say in Abhidhamma, the high knowledge of the teaching, citta means the knowing mind, cetasika the process of the mind. Nama is the spiritual phenomena, like the feeling, perception, mental activities, and consciousness. And rupa is the body. And once this knowing mind see the impermanence of the body, see the impermanence of the feeling, perception, mental activities, and consciousness, and so on, and see the impermanence of the thought itself that come from the mind. I can't remember that what they say in Zen, that the head and the tail. The head is the knowing mind. The tail is something come from the knowing mind. So you're not supposed to go up and down according to your own shadow. So not supposed to attach to anything pleasant or not unpleasant. You just see as it is, as they are. So that knowing mind would be happy forever. So why, when it comes to this, you have to understand that the strong morality comes from what the Buddha taught, right action, right speech, and right livelihood. And then when it comes to right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration, you think of the full foundation of mindfulness. Mindfulness of the body, mindfulness of the feeling, mindfulness of the mind, and the mind object. So once you work on this, have understand it, this kind of knowledge is your great wisdom. And through this, you can help those who are upset with anything on earth, when you talk to them about what the Buddha taught, oh, you free them from suffering. That you show them great compassion and great wisdom. So good Buddhist not supposed to be stupid, you know. So have to be very wise. But this is quite a high level of the understanding and the wisdom. So if they like to say, oh, that's far too much, no? Sir, I like to come to the a normal life. How is your wisdom, brother? Oh, easy. But all in all, have to avoid the bad karma. Can't escape. No, you have to avoid no killing whatsoever. No, no stealing. No committing sexual misconduct. No lying. This 4-1 first, and then we talk about drinking later. So this is, and then when you treat any person, when you talk to anyone, when you treat them, have to be very fair and justice. No prejudice because of greed, of love, of liking. No prejudice because of anger. No prejudice because of fear. And no prejudice because of delusion. So make sure that you have a fair go with everyone. Okay? And then, now, they said about what they call Apaya Mukha, what you call it, the gateway up to the great decline, or the gateway to the great disaster in life. First, drinking. So those who still drinking have to minimize it, no? Because the Buddha said Apaya Mukha. Mukha means the mouth or the gate. Apaya means the great disaster or decline. So don't drink it, no? And then what? Don't go out at night. If you go out at night, you don't look after yourself. You don't look after your family. You don't look after your property. You can be accused of doing anything. So those who go out at night and walk alone without having any fear of the trouble can run into trouble. Like most of the Indian one, not in New South Wales, no? The in Victoria, they have to walk alone, go out at night. But this is very fair. So don't frequent the bar and the club. No. Don't go. No. Try to avoid. The bar and the club, you have to avoid them. No food. If you go there very often, you can see only the bad people waiting for you. So have to understand that if you have money, the bad friend like you so much. If you don't have, they don't like you. So when you are strong and healthy, they love you. But when you are in desperate, nobody would like you. But remember, your father, your brother, your sisters always there. Your true relative. No matter what happened, you are related to them. They're the one who suffer, no? Your parents would suffer, your uncle, your auntie, and so on. Oh, don't do anything wrong, no? Study. And the other one is gambling. Now gambling is the worst. Oh, don't dare, don't. Very, I cannot help anyone who have this kind of habit. No matter who they are, even the Thai, the Lao, so close to us, some of the Chinese come to me, but I cannot help them. The family have to be split. Even they have money from that gambling, they cannot look after it. Go back again, I know quite a few of them.
Cannot, you know, because gambling. So don't go near, you know. Stay away from that, what is the star, what is it? And then the other one, bad friends, you have to avoid. Very the bad friends you have to avoid. They bring you to the bad thing in life. So always, if you have to see to meet someone, always a good one. But say, if we cannot stay away from them, distance your mind from them. Never appreciate what they are doing. Never copy them. Never go with them. So stay away from them. Bad friends, oh, very bad. And then, the last on the list, strange enough, laziness is the great, what do you call it, gateway to the great disaster. So, don't be lazy at any time, no? Get up early, study, and always doing the good thing. This is a compassion and wisdom, not from us, from the Buddha. We can tell them like that. It comes from the Buddha. And then, so, coming down, how to live a good life, sir? Oh, always diligent. What do you call it? Uttana Sambada. Always diligent. And then, Arakha Sambada. And save money. Very important. You earn, and then you have to save. And then, the third one, always have good friends. Because you can depend on them. They can help you. The good one, oh, like you among many Chinese. No? Some don't have anything, but because of good friends, lend you money without interest in the past. I don't know now. so many can establish their life because of helping from the good friends. You know? And the last one, very good indeed, Samajivita, spend money wisely. This one, you know. Not only saving money, but spend money wisely, you know. So, only anything that necessary you buy. And if anything that you use, any cloth, use it until it cannot be used. And then you can throw away. That's a very good, so you can, that you can save a lot of money, can have a good accommodation, you know, can have a good life. So this thing is very important, it is very necessary. And then when dealing with the people in daily life, always very kind and generous to all living beings. And then support by general speech, a pleasant word to everyone. Not only kind to them, helping them, but talk nicely. So once you away from the four kinds of wrong speech, and no lying, no hard speech, no gossiping, no empty talk, you always talk nicely and always good word. And always, what you call that, remember the good word and say the good thing to others. With the bad one, keep quiet. Don't let it go through your mouth. So that's piya vaja, the word general speech. And then attacharya, always helpful, very helpful. So if you are with anybody, always helpful, looking after the place, looking after the kitchen, looking after the bathroom, and so on, no? Doing all sorts of things. A great person you can see from the start. I see that myself, like any monk who ever come to us and practice nicely in many things, we see that person as a great abbot. But a man or a woman of the good quality, of a high quality, is very rare to find. Very hard to find nowadays. So you can see those who always like to help others, they have plenty of friends, plenty of good people. And then samanatata, always polite and humble.
So this how we deal with people. And then when you stay alone by yourself, you like to practice what we call metta bhavana, loving kindness to all living beings. You think of the full sublime state, metta, loving kindness to all living beings without exception. That means your kind heart touch everyone, from the very low one to the high one, in all directions, not just only your friends. So never forget, if you share your room with anyone, anybody, you stay with any family, never forget them. Always say, may such person be very happy. So to make sure that you don't have anger with them, you know. Otherwise you hate them so much. Have to move out or have to conflict, you know. So always, may I be happy, may that person be very happy. And then even say, if you just have loving kindness to your people, related people, that's not good enough. You have to send your loving kindness to all living beings in all directions. May they be well and happy. Keep saying that. All directions, above and below, may they be well and happy. So this, what you call metta, is very important indeed. It what you call minimize our anger and our hatred, and establish our friendship with all other living beings. Human being is hard to understand, no? Sometimes they become very good friends from the start, and then not so good friends later. Some very unfriendly from beginning, but very good later. Some of them, their father, mother, or the senior one, not so good, but the grandchildren, the children, so kind, so good to Buddhism like that. It's unpredictable. So you keep sending your loving kindness. Don't blame, don't criticize anyone, anybody. Just keep your loving kindness. And then when you come to Karuna, concentrate on the poor. What you can do to help others. So you can see that if they need anything in terms of food, clothes, accommodation, and medicine, and you do your best in this level. You help them. And if they're not strong in moral conduct, then you help them. Become their friend and try to bring them to the good place and having a good connection. Sometimes the children, the young people, because they are so close to father and mother, and very difficult for father and mother to train them. But sometimes, when they come to the temple, if they behave themselves, they are helpful in a way, they get a lot of support from those who come, and even from the monks themselves. So this boy and girl become a very happy and pleasant, and can study very, very well. So this something that you have to understand, no? Because they're so close to you, and they're always against you like that. As a boy, as a girl, a very young one, they listen. But when they grow up, they have their own life. Very, very sad nowadays. I can tell you that we are not in a very good position. They like the people move out from the father and mother, because they can have their own freedom without even getting married. They have their own freedom. In Buddhism, like the Chinese philosophy, exactly the same. Grateful to father and mother. You do your best. You are healthy and strong. Help them when they are in a position. Why you move away? What's wrong with them? You're not married yet. Why you move away? That I could not understand this. This, if you do like this, poor thing. How you show your gratitude to your father and mother? If you have no gratitude to your father and mother, no one would have gratitude to you. How you can expect from the blessing from the Buddha? Even the beginning, from the start, you are not good at home. No chance. Have to be good at home. A person who loves us so much, who sacrificed everything for us, that person we have to look after. When we are strong and healthy. So don't move away, you know, until you get married, you know. If they have plenty of others, they other brother and sister to look after, so we can, even that you can have excuse. But leave mother and father alone, and two of them have to do everything for themselves, and then you enjoy your life. Oh no, no good. that from my point of view, I think the our Buddhist point of view would be in this way. So that's not good. So and then we treat all other living beings with our compassion and kindness. And then for those who have a very a successful life, have success in life and prosperity and so on, no jealousy whatsoever. Always happy with them. And then the time comes when we can't show our compassion and kindness and joy, not in the position to do so, because the karma they have done, they have to suffer, so they are doing the wrong thing, they are in jail or in a situation where you cannot stop, you know. You just stay with equanimity and calmness. But this, so if you live a good life, practice a lot of kindness and generosity, you have a chance to show your compassion to others. And then if you learn a lot from Buddhism, this kind of wisdom would be a great help. So helping them, those who are in suffering, if they need anything materially, we help them. If they need anything that, like any kind of knowledge, you can help them, you do that. And then when it comes to the Buddhism, you do your best, but never forget, establish yourself in morality, practice meditation, and develop your wisdom, so you can show your compassion and great wisdom to the world. Okay? Any question? Yeah?
Why if you want to have someone, but you are not wise enough to help? Yeah. Someone comes to you with problems, like your friend has some problems, right?
Yeah.
You really want to help him, but you don't think you're qualified enough to do this. Yeah, so what can you do?
Materially, if they need like a kind of support like that, so money or accommodation or anything like that, so we do that without the requirement of the morality, you know, involved. And if you see a very good person who are in desperate, but if they are have a very bad habit, we can we can't help them, no? You can be firm and say if they are in gambling, you can't help them. But if they ask for the ticket, bus ticket or hotel ticket, just give away, you know. But if anything more than that, you have to think, because the person is not a very good person. But all in all, even without that, what they call requirement, you still, the person who give always have credit. Always remember that those who give us something, but when we give anything to anyone, it's not our duty to remember. So we have credit. When the very bad, you get credit, and then one day they would come to you. Like in my case, sometimes the one kid, a parent, father not that good, but still have a very good heart. But then when it comes to the children, oh, very good. So and then we can say, oh, the whole family actually even without the, with the weakness of someone, still a very good friend, very helpful. Better than those who don't do anything at all. So we have to understand that human beings always have weakness. Talk to them nicely, make them understand, and before you can help them. So don't expect anything in return. Just help them if you are in that position to do it.
Where? So if I'm not in the position?
If you are not, just stay, you know, with equanimity. Can't do anything. But you can, in your mind, like a, this, never forget, never give up. Always, no? Like, may I be happy. May all living beings be very happy. Saying before you go to sleep or any time, any place, anywhere, always, what if on spiritually, you give something to all other living beings without anything in like a material, without food, without clothes, without medicine, but from your heart, you say, may all living beings be very happy. Like if you walk along the beach and you look at the sea, at the waves, may all living beings living there be very happy. Looking at the sky, see the birds, may all living beings be very happy, you know. And then you are in the aeroplane, may all the deities who live are supposed to be around, may they be very happy. Like that you are giving. So that's very good. That's the way of the good people, the monks, the nuns, those who don't have anything in particular, nothing in their hand to give away to anyone, anybody. That's a very good one. It helps a lot. Like your friend who are in trouble, but you don't have money, but I wish happiness for this person. May he be very happy. Even that is the great thing.